And accept this one, I will save today. I will even save tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. That is totally, totally unacceptable. If you want to discipline an official in an institution, why do you wait until the portfolio committee comes to that institution and the person stands there and talk her truth and say her truth? Because there are three truths as far as we are concerned. There's your truth, there's my truth, there's the actual truth. That's how things are. Three sides of the story. Your story, your side, my side, and the truth. We, as the portfolio committee, are now consulting with our legal union to ask, what do we do when we find people who talk to us? See, now, people can talk to us at any time because we are public representatives here. We are representing the public. And in our own understanding as the portfolio committee, this entity should be where people feel that they can be their best. They can do their best. Where people need to be nurtured. Where people need to be empowered to do their best. Where communities feel that this is our mouthpiece. Entities are supposed to be people's organs of people's power. That's what entities are supposed. Where people feel that that entity is standing for us as artists, as filmmakers, that whatever they say, whatever they do, they are doing this on our behalf. When that does not happen, then it's a real serious problem. And as the portfolio committee, we cannot, we will never let people who give us information, because we can get information from anyone, anybody. We can even subpoena a person to come here to the portfolio committee to give us information. When we go to your entity, we are not interfering. Please be clear. And I think I need to read about oversight, what oversight is. Oversight is a constitutionally mandated function of legislative organs of state to scrutinize and oversee executive action and any organ of state. Consequently, oversight entails the informal and formal, watchful and strategic structured scrutiny exercised by legislators in respect of implementation of laws, the application of the budget, and the strict observance of the statutes and the constitution. In addition, and most importantly, it entails overseeing the effective management of government departments by individual members of cabinet in pursuit of improved service delivery for the achievement of a better quality of life for all citizens. The appropriate mechanism for parliament to conduct oversight of these organs of state would be us, these people that are interfering with your work in the entity. Functions of the oversight are to detect, to prevent abuse, arbitrary behavior, or illegal and unconstitutional conduct on the part of the government and public agencies. At the core of this function is the protection of the rights and liberties of citizens. And we are here to hold the government to account in respect of how the taxpayers' money is used. We detect waste within the machinery of government and public agencies so that efficiency is improved in this organ. It is to ensure that policies announced by government and authorized by parliament are actually delivered. The functions include monitoring the achievement of goals set by legislation and the government's own program, and it is to improve the transparency of government operations and enhance public trust in government, which is itself a condition of effective policy delivery. When we do our oversight function, ladies and gentlemen, we are not interfering with your work. This must be clear. This should be clear in your mind that when we do our work, we're not interfering with what you should be doing. Yours is delivered. Niyeke yonke le nto niyenzayo yobe nixabana lodwa nisilwa ezinkundleni zamatyala. You take the bulk of the money, you take it to the court. Money that could be used for service delivery because you have something against me. It has nothing to do with you. This thing has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the people that we are serving. This is about serving. This is about service. It's not about our ego. It has nothing to do with our ego. It has everything to do with the people that we are supposed to serve. Please, let's not explain this anymore. And if we go to your entity, we will speak to anybody and everybody. We are not interfering. We are doing our job. Please be clear. If we get into a department, we can go to the department and we will speak to everybody in the department. That time will come when we go there, spend the whole day as we do in entities, in the department, to talk to everybody. And we are doing this so that you can be able to see things that you could not see because you are within. We don't know how this negative perception comes in. Because we are here to expose you to things that you don't know when you are here. When you are within, there are things you don't know. As the board, as the council, things that you don't know. And as the council, you are the accounting authority. Will ask from you. There will come a time when the CEO is not there. You just call the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. The CEO is not there. And you won't say, let me go and ask the CEO. So it's important we said it from day one, that accounting authorities do your work. Don't let the CEO do the work that you are supposed to do. You are there to monitor, to oversee. You are the overseer there. And they will tell you what they are telling us, that you are interfering. But when we ask, we will ask you, not them. We'll ask you. Because you are the accountant for something. was not easy, but it was worth it. When the five-year term ends, Tina, on our tombstone, we want a writing that says, here lies a portfolio committee that did its work to the best of its ability. Not here lies a committee that tried. You are not trying, you are doing. And Nina, if you are trying, you are in trouble. So we want to make this thing clear. We are doing our work. You do yours. Oversee your entities. We will come in. And when we tell you, Tina, we make findings as a recommendation page. We make fine now of territorial control. We make findings and recommendations. And what did you now what did people who implement them? And as Honorable Makhondo said earlier, during this period, we are going to sit on this. As we said at the beginning, that we are going to sit on entities. This is your interference. So we want to ensure that whatever has to be done needs to be done. I'm now going to give the department an opportunity to give us an overview on the National Arts Council. And then thereafter, we will give the National Arts Council chairperson present to us their annual report. So over to you, Department.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm going to do the overview on the National Arts Council. This is a presentation outline. I'm not going to the presentation outline. But basically, the mandate of the National Arts Council, it derives its mandate from the National Council Act 1997, Act Number 56 of 1997. And the council is mandated to do the following: allocate funds to artists, cultural institutions, non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations, to promote the creation, teaching, and dissemination of literature, oral history and storytelling, music, dance, theater, opera, design, visual arts, and crafts, which fully reflect the country's diversity. And it also provides bursaries in the field of arts and culture to practitioners, administrators, and educators. In terms of the performance at the end of March 2017, from the financial year 2016-17, the NAC reported 20 planned targets for the quarter that ended on the 31st March 2017. 80% of the targets were achieved and 20% not achieved. The department will monitor progress with regards to the achievement of the above targets in the fourth quarter of the current financial year. I think we need to just change that. And then we did the performance review of the past 3 years. In 2013-14, NAC was at 76% performance, non-achievement at 24%, and in 2014-15, the performance improved. They were at 87%, and non-achievement at 13%, and then in 2015-16, they managed to perform and make sure that they achieve all the deliverables as set in the annual performance plan. So currently this financial year they are at 80%, so we will monitor and ensure that by the end of the financial year they are able to achieve all their deliverables. In terms of the income and expenditure trends from 2014-15 to date until the end of the financial year, the income is sitting at 96 million. 91 million was the government grant, and they were able to generate income, own income, 4.2 million. The total expenditure, Minister, I'm calling you church, but I will take you to call me Charlie. Yes. The expenditure was sitting at 99.4 million, so there was a deficit in 2014-15. And then 15-16, the total income was 98.9 million. 96 million was coming as a grant from the Department of Agriculture, and 2.8 million was own generated income. And the total grant was 102, the total expenditure was 102. So there was still a deficit of 3.5 million. In 2016-17, 104, that's the income, and they expended 107 million, and the deficit sitting at 3.2 million. And this is the financial position of the NAC in terms of the current assets from 2014-15 to date. And these are the figures and the non-current assets, and also it includes their liabilities. And the net asset value sitting at 61.6 million in 2014-15, 2015-16 at 47.6 million, and in 2016-17 at 45.4 million. And then this analysis of cash and cash equivalents. Cash and cash equivalents at 47.6 million in 2014-15, 2016 45.5, and 2016-17 39.7 million. And then we also looked at the trade and other receivables, and in 2014-16 was 8.6 million and 335, in 2015-16 and 347 in 2016-17. So then we had the net working capital, which is 43.9 and 41.8 and 37 million year on year. Just to indicate, the surplus fund for 2016-17 financial year is attributed to funds earmarked for the following: the projects contracted but not fully paid, projects approved for funding but not yet contracted. And the audit outcome, Chair and Honorable Members, the NAC has achieved clean audit for the past 3 years. Even now they've received a clean audit. And in terms of the state of governance, the management, there's a Chief Executive Officer, there's also a Chief Financial Officer. And then they've got 34 employees in the organization. And the National Arts Council is operating under the guidance of a council which has 12 members appointed by the Minister of Arts and Culture and 5 provincial representatives nominated by the NEC. So other provinces still need to make sure that they submit their list to the minister. And then the minister has appointed a council for the period 1 January 2017 to 31 December 2020, and the council has 17 members. The induction of the new council was conducted on the 23rd and 24th February this year. And also the NEC further conducted its own entity induction on the 31st of August 2017. Subsequent to the announcement of the induction date, the chairperson of the council resigned, citing ill health reasons. Because Minister had appointed a chairperson, and then the chairperson resigned, and then the Minister then appointed a new chairperson, who Advocate Wang, to hear on the 17th March 2017. The following committees are in place. There's an audit committee in place. The audit committee has 4 members. The above include 2 external members plus 2 council members. And then this in terms of the council and the number of council members, the meetings that they had, and the attendance rate of the council members, it has always been above 80%. It shows commitment from the council members, the number of audit committee meetings, number of management meetings, and the number of staff meetings. Because we also look at that so that staff get feedback and they can also be informed of operations and other things in the organization. And then this is what we received. The department received an appeal from Ethica Learning Arts and Culture Initiative that is situated in Mangusa, KwaZulu-Natal, Emhlabuya Lingana. And then on the 22nd of December 2016, the minister appointed two independent assessors who assisted him in handling the appeal, and the independent assessors concluded their work in March 2017. So we'll talk to the outcome of the appeal. And then the Department of Arts and Culture also received a correspondence from Mr. Virginia Teller that alleged that a grant application submitted by the South African Roadies Association was not handled properly as a result of failure on the part of NAC management to adhere to the relevant grant funding policies. Subsequent to that, the department then instituted a forensic investigation so that we can then ascertain whether these allegations are, you know, hold water. The findings of the forensic investigation supported the decision of the management of not awarding the grant to SARA. The forensic investigation further revealed that Mr. Nyatela's proposal did not comply with the requirements outlined in the grant funding policies and procedures of the NAC. But we know that he was not happy with the outcome of the investigation. And these were things that came from the investigation that we need to, there's a need for NAC to conduct training awareness and workshops with staff and other stakeholders on the policies and procedures of the NAC. And also that they also need to look at the policy on expired projects and surpluses so that NAC could also review their policies and so that it becomes more transparent. And that NAC should conduct an audit to...
Excuse me. Is the presentation once was forwarded to the portfolio committee?
Version 1 and version 2, so we submitted the last version was the one that I confirmed that it must be sent to the committee.
When was that?
We submitted on the 22nd.
can you get answers?
We submitted.
I'll send you on the 22nd. I can't be exactly sure as to what they will see, but this is the updated version of it. It's been put by me.
You sent the updated version? Or the initial one? Did you send the initial version or the updated version? On the 20 something?
The initial version.
So you sent the initial version, which is this version? still the same as this one, the same electronically, so we have the same problem some more.
This can be a problem because telephone, as we always say, when we receive a document, you know, the reason why we ask that you receive the document beforehand is because we want to go through the document and then we'll go to interact with the document. And assuming that this is the document that we are going to present to us, the researcher of the portfolio committee uses this document to research the information that he has given. Because as the portfolio committee, we have a researcher that researches what you tell us. So it's a problem when you give us one document and present another document. And it would have been good if you said, the document that I'm going to present, you know, up front, is not the one that is in front of you, honorable members. I apologize for that. And the difference is on page so-and-so and page so-and-so. Up front, so that as we look through the document, we know that it's not the same document. We are at the same level with you. But if that doesn't happen, it's a problem.
I think, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I need to just apologise for the confusion in terms of the version. As I think the members have received the updated version, I need to really apologise for that. But the information is still the same, I think.
Listen, information will not be the same because the information that we have is different from what we are saying, and we would want to engage with the document. Unfortunately, we can't engage with the document when we don't have the whole set. That's where the problem lies. Because now what we have is different from what we are presenting. So I don't know how to then go about check, because I realized, I think, from when one issue was on page 12, that already a lot of information is missing. And if you look at our document, there are about page 19 that are about six in the document. So from we missed you from page 12. Moving forward, we are not moving with you because our document is not the same as what we are having.
Chair, maybe we should maybe go back to the original presentation and look for the original presentation.
What's the difference between the original presentation and this presentation?
Once we added more information to the report, Honorable Chair. So Honourable Chair and members, I think we included more information on the investigation. More information. I said we included more information on the investigation. This is the original one.
members of the council. The council is operating under the guidance of the National Arts Council is operating under the guidance of the council members, and we've got 12 members appointed by the Minister of Arts and Culture, and we've got 5 provincial representatives that were nominated by the MEC, and then the Minister of Arts and Culture appointed the council for the period 1 January 2017 to 31st December 2020. And the council comprises of 17 members, and the induction happened on the 23rd and the 24th of February this year. And also the NAC conducted its own entity induction on the 31st August 2017. And subsequent to the announcement of the induction date, the chair that was appointed by the minister then resigned, citing health reasons, and then the minister then appointed a new person, Mr. Mwadu, as the chair on the 17th March 2017. And the following committees are in place: the audit committee is in place, and the committee comprises of 4 members, and the committee includes 2 external members plus 2 council members. And this is the attendance of the council members, the meetings that are held, and also the management meetings. The number of council meetings in 2014, 15, 16, and 16, 17 are outlined. And then we just indicated that the attendance rate of council meetings is above 80%. And for last year, it was above 95%. And the audit committee has had the 4 meetings, but in 2014, 15, they had 5 meetings. And then there are management meetings, 4 in 2015, 16. 2015, 17, there were more meetings, management meetings, and in 2016, 7 meetings. And the number of staff meetings, they had 8, 7, and 9. And then the challenges that we received, the challenges in the entity, then the department received an appeal from Ethical and Arts and Culture Initiative that is situated in Mangusa, Komhlabuya Dingane Princess, and pertaining to the funding decision of the National Arts Council. And then on the 22nd of December, the minister appointed 2 independent assessors to assist him in handling the appeal, and the work was concluded in 2017. The minister approved the recommendations and instructed the NAC Council to review the council's decision and engage the beneficiaries, especially that they are located in rural areas. And then the other one, the Department of Arts and Culture received also a correspondence from Mr. Virginia Turner that alleged that a grant application submitted by the South African Rotary Association was not handled properly as a result of failure on the part of the NAC management to adhere to the relevant grant funding policies. The department then instituted a forensic investigation to ascertain the veracity of the allegations contained in Mr. Nyatela's submission. The findings of the forensic investigation supported the decision of the management of not awarding the grant to SARA and the Business Innovation Group, BIG, further revealed that Mr. Nyatela's proposal did not comply with the requirements outlined in the grant funding policies and procedure of the NAC. Subsequent to the above report, the matter was taken to the public protector for further investigation, responding to Mr. Nyatela's queries. The minister has advised that a new investigation be conducted, and the department is in the process of reconsidering the forensic investigation. Especially that, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that the investigating officer, it is alleged that he previously worked with the CEO. So that is why then it was like whether that influenced the outcome of the investigation. So Minister has asked that this be redacted. Department of Arts and Culture also received a course, on the same thing. The department shared the report with the council, and NSC issued. That is from the first investigation that was conducted by PIG. And these are the recommendations that were in that, that were shared with the council, that NSC should conduct training and awareness and workshop with staff and other stakeholders during when procedures and policies are explained, that the policy on expert project and substances should be reviewed to make it more transparent, and then that NSC should also conduct an audit to establish whether all grants awarded contributed to the achievement of the objectives of the NSC. And there was also an allegation that was also sent to us, to the department, that the salary increase of both the CEO and the CFO had increased substantially in the 2016-27 financial year, that they were above the inflation. And the department then directed the council to investigate the allegations, and following the findings and recommendations from the council, because then the council responded to minister, the CEO's salary structure and only includes car allowance, and that no performance bonuses and increases were paid both to the CEO and CFO in 2014-15. And that the CEO's increase by 18% from 1 point whatever was found not to be correct. Because that was also one of the allegations that it moved from 1.2 to 1.6. So that was found not to be correct. And that this is what the CFO received as a performance bonus, and because they said the amount was in excess of the stipulated 5% and set the remuneration at 1.6 of the NSC. There was also a report on the Lalela flagship project. The council concluded that the project did not comply with the following: that the project did not submit the previous the closeout report, and also that there was non-disclosure from the CEO from the time she came away that Lalela is owned by somewhere linked to the family. Council concluded that the project was not supposed to have been approved by the previous council. Or put differently, councils do not take disciplinary action against the CEO for non-disclosure. This is the report that we received. The department has shared the report from council to the portfolio committee. So we submitted the report. And the NSC commissioned the services of grant sourcing, or on the Molemo letter of appeal and information, the leakage to the media, because the council had also had to deal with that issue. The NSC commissioned the services of grant sourcing for the purpose of conducting the forensic investigation. And this forensic investigation was concluded on the 8th of February. And the council started implementing the recommendation from the grant sourcing report. Disciplinary action has been taken against the implicated officials for leaking confidential information and for contravening the NSC's Code of Ethics Information Technology Policy as recorded in the Molemo Letter of Appeal. The officials involved are currently on suspension pending the outcome of their disciplinary proceedings. And the council resolved to also institute disciplinary action against the company secretary. The council secretary has also suspended the company secretary based on the following: that the secretary breached the NSC policy, in particular the council charter, also breached her conditions of employment as contained in the job description, and that she's worked against the best interests of the council, and also that she performed her duties, she neglected on her duties, there's gross negligence on her side. From the Department of Arts and Culture, this is our presentation. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Deputy. The information that was
that she said was in the new document and not in the old document?
It's how we package the information.
Oh,
I've just realized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, the information is on there.
Yeah, it's on all, it's how we package the information. I apologize.
Okay, but it's a lesson that before you come to the portfolio, any document in fact, DG, any document that leaves the department has your tag on it. If something like this happens, Tina, we look at you. We don't look at anyone else. We'll say, how can a document from the department come to the portfolio committee? We know that you will not always be there, but you need to have someone in your office that's going to ensure, as we said in our last meeting, the lines of communication. We clearly stipulated what we need, and any document, you must know that any judgment has your tag on it. Whatever is wrong with the judgment, you will ask Tina, you will ask the DG, not anybody else. So it's important that you are always, it's a difficult job, I know, but that's what you are being paid to do. We will now ask the NAC to present honorable member, please. Honorable member.
Chair, maybe before the MAC presents, Chair, I would wanted to just need clarity from the presentation that has just been presented by the department, especially on the last page 19 before the page 26 of the document. Can we perhaps be taken on board, because now on the matters, on the challenges, the matters that have been raised there, especially on the disciplinary actions against the company secretary, we are not privy to the information. One was assuming that perhaps the information could have been more elaborated on, other than the words that have just been said there. Breach the NAC policy, in particular the council charter, where admitting words. We don't know what is contained in the council charter. The members of this portfolio committee would love to know what is the council charter, because remember, any document that has to be, or any law or any pieces of legislation, it has to come from the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. So we need to test that, whether is it not against the principles of the Constitution of the Republic. Because sometimes we do these things just to spite other people. We do. We do policies, we do a lot of things to make sure that we make life very difficult for people. But as this portfolio committee, we've got a right to look on whether is this in line with the Constitution of the Republic. So even when we look at the breach conditions of her employment, we don't know what was the conditions of the employment, and specifically what is it that she has breached on that. I think, Chairperson, I'm raising these issues on the background that we conducted an oversight in the institutions, and I will assume that, I'm speaking under correction, I'll assume that the person who is they're talking about here is one of those people that were suspended or were, after we left the institution because of the fact that there was an assumption that they shared information with the portfolio committee of Parliament, yet the Constitution protects anybody who shares information with the portfolio committee of Parliament. Otherwise, the one who does not share information is the one who is in breach of the Constitution, because you have to share all the information that is being asked to you. That's why I would really, I'm interested specifically, Chairperson, on that case, that we do provide them with the whole information on what transpired, especially the case of those who were suspended. Because I remember, Chair, at some stage we even got an email that was not good, that was implicating the portfolio committee. Coming to what you said, I don't want to dilute what you said as your opening remarks in terms of how people view themselves when they are given positions within these entities. They view us as, I don't know, anyone about Bonnie, I don't know about the Bonnie, so I'm just trying to I need government has to do something. I need more details of this chapter 85.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Matham?
Chair, it's just clarity because I'm going to confine myself to matters that the department should deal with and other matters that to do with the entity. I'll come back to them once the entity brings the presentation. The information that we are getting here does not help us to understand. It's very anecdotal, and I'm going to just run through it. And I think you can test this to anybody that's seated here who's not in the department. Perhaps even the DG will not understand. Let's open page 19. That appeal thing. The department received an appeal from Escalini Arts Culture that is situated in Manguza pertaining to funding decision of the NAC. What does it say? I don't understand it. Is this how we should be crafting information? How do I resolve on this query as a person seated here? Or DG, let's start with DG, over there we have here. DG, explain this matter, what does it say? I can tell now, he will not be in a position to answer the question. So this thing is badly crafted, it does not assist us. And then the action taken, the minister appointed two independent assessors to assist him with the appeal. They concluded their work. The minister approved their recommendations. It's fine. We don't know. See, problem with it. It's your story, you throw your seed here. You clap your seed, but it's nicely clapping. But you haven't said nothing. And apologies if you need my. I may also have some dark spots where I don't understand certain things. Nyatela, age 20, how many 19s do we have? We've got another 19, okay? The second 19, Nyatela, the Department of Arts and Culture received a correspondence from Mr. Nyatela, alleging that a grant application submitted by SARA was not handled properly as a result of failure on the part of the NAC to adhere to the relevant granting policies. Now, on the previous query, we appoint assessors to, on this one, we appoint a forensic. I find it a bit, and perhaps because I don't know the magnitude of the first one as to how it differs from this one, but they are both queries on the same entity on a related matter funding. But this side you appoint assessors, this side you appoint forensic now. But indeed, the presenter did raise the fact that the forensic, is this not the forensic that was related to the CEO, this one? The big one, just for me.
BIG was the forensic on SAR, the funding by SAR.
The one is related to the visit, or the two assessors are related to the CEO.
The funding, but the two assessors, maybe just to explain, Honorable Matham, what happens is that when I've applied for funding and I'm declined, I can appeal to the minister.
No, yeah, that's not the issue. That's not the issue.
Then the minister appointed the assessors.
Yes, you appointed assessors. Here you appoint the forensic. Now, somewhere you raise something that is not in the paper, but I don't know whether it's in the other one, in which you said, you then discovered in which there is a relationship between that person, investigator, and the CEO. Is it the two assessors or the forensic?
The forensic.
Okay.
Now, the BIG forensic. That's the allegation.
What is BIG? It's the first time that I come to know a person or a company with that name which would possibly qualify to carry out forensic. And I don't know whether perhaps I people qualify to carry out forensic. They are appointed by you, not by the CEO. So I've got nothing, got no problem with the CEO on the matter. I have every problem with the rebuttal. Do these people qualify to conduct forensic? It's a question. And now that they have failed from what you have said, who is paying for the wasted fund? You're going to do the second, investigation of the same matter. Surely, public funds cannot be expected to be used for this kind of activity. I find it odd. And my personal view is that it is time that some of these responsibilities are taken by people who take reckless decisions. The next 19, the third 19 men, is this the continuation of the previous, or is it a different case here? The fourth 19, because the department can't go anywhere beyond 19, they just stick to 19. Mm-hmm. Very interesting difference, but and it's a very problem issue here with that teaching. This is a public document. Now, we must accept ukuthi this is quality that that this committee should rely upon for correctness. And I don't know whether you really want us to deal with this document. I don't know whether you want to put your head on the block for this document. It's a decision you would like to make, but we can continue with it, but it has implications. Just as a parting question, Chair, and I'm asking this thing to the department. You have the scenario that I've painted before, where you intervened in a particular way. Now, we have a query that is raised by the CEO, about the CEO. The other matters, the board is not responsible for making those decisions because they have taken the decision. In this one, the council must investigate. One would assume that when the salary increased, naturally council would have been involved. Now you are saying to the person who is supposed to be, who was supposed to have made that decision, go investigate yourself. Unless if I'm lost, you see, I may not understand, but having served in some corporate bodies, it sounds very, very strange. But the last matter I would like to deal with is, I don't know the 19th dossier, you know, the last but one, the matter that before, you see, they thank you, on page 26, and then 19 before that one, where you get the Grand Thornton thing. Now, something that I don't understand is two matters. You get a letter. Okay, the allegations contained in Mulemo, letter of appeal, that's I think the thing that the colleague was dealing with. On information, on leakage. In this case, the NAC commissioned the services of Glenn Thornton. I find it a bit strange that it is the department that is reporting on the matter, which is actually supposed to be reported upon by the NAC dealt with by the entity, what is the significance of this thing? It just sounds very dodgy to me. It sounds funny. And then council has started to implement the recommendations of Kamto, But something I find interesting is that, anonymous allegations, if you could just explain anonymous allegations concerning Timo Lemo's death of a kid. You know, it starts very strange. Just to start, it's very strange because are you sure what word is this? That scholarly appeal. And then and after that appeal, I don't know to whom is that appeal made. Is it made to NAC? Is it made to the department? And then council commissions Thompson. Council implements Thompson recommendations. Disciplinary action has been taken against this official, meaning I assume that the DC is emanating from the Thompson's forensic or report. The same person is on suspension. Now, the next page, which is page 19, in addition to the findings of Glenn Thompson, the council conducted its own internal investigation. What does this mean? What does this mean? There's something that doesn't match up here. And but I think the department is better placed because they present the report to explain to us what we should read in this. And I think the question that the colleague has raised of each of whatever, I think that has not been explained because we need to, if we get such a thing, how should we deal with this matter as it's presented to us? But I think that from what I've said and the questions that the colleague has raised, would that be
thank you very much.
It
was Honorable Holborn and Honorable Makondo, but I think there's a follow-up, just a slight follow-up from Honorable Sulet, then we'll come in with Honorable Holborn, and it was in Honorable
okay, there is another one issue that is missing here on the old days 19th, but not the issue of the CEO, because here it's stipulated all the salary increases and everything that has happened. But there's something that is missing the recommendation, because when she was presenting the recommendation, she said that that council find that that was wrong for the CEO to have given herself that amount, whatever. So now, there's nothing that is saying what is the recourse in that matter. Because you cannot just increase the salary wrongfully so, unlawfully so, and there's no recourse. That matter is really missing here. I was expecting that Kilebutule would tell us the recommendations, and if perhaps the action has been taken, we know what is the action that has been taken. Because you can't take the action this side and then on the other side, when you are yourself, you are implicated in the wrongdoing. There's no action that is being done.
Thank you, Chair. I think the part of the question that I want to ask was now asked by my colleague in the follow-up. Now, I just want to find out two things. One is when does the NSC's policies divert from DAC's policies, specifically with reference to the salary increases. And then the officials, were they suspended because they reported wrongfully on the salary increases, or what did they whistle blow on? You see, because one you will find within the departments the Auditor General will not necessarily pick up any problems. If you care to look at the page 18 of the Auditor General's report, where they, in terms of strategic goals 1 to 5, no material findings were recorded. KPMG kind of thing in here, that they did not pick this up, what was picked up by the official within the department. Now the official is being sanctioned because of correcting that she has done, but yet the incarcerated officials were not acted upon. And then the other thing is, now the said official performed the duties negligently, gross negligently. Now I just wish to know whether this was only found after he or she, I think it's she, leaked the information to the to whoever, newspapers or wherever, she leaked the information. Was she only found to be negligent after she had done that? And of course, I think my colleague asked, the question, was it that based on the report that Parliament received? And I think that is the, and I just wanted to find out in terms of the salary increment, does that not rest with DHC and the minister, or is it, can any entity decide on, I think the entity do decide on the salary, but on the increases, who has the last say on such increments in salary?
I said KPMG, but looks like it was actually referring to the one that came here, Sam Thornton. So KPMG is just a famous one. So I just wanted to make a correction on what I said to help him out.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable McConkey.
Thank you, Chair. I'm so confused, Chair. Please bear with me. But it's fine. NAC is still going to present the details that are lacking on this overview by the department. We just hope they'll be there. Because we don't want to treat both the two institutions with suspicion. But I've requested the administration chair to retrieve a particular information which I think is missing. Then, if the information is retrieved, then we can treat them with suspicion. You remember we visited NAC in March. The issue of salary increase was there. And the presentation which the department is bringing, it's too different from what was presented at that meeting. However, we're still waiting for that information to be retrieved. There was no denial, Chair, of the increase of the salary of the CEO and CFO. There was no denial in that meeting. However, the response was that the decision was taken by the previous board. What we're told here, that is not an increase, it's a bonus. I think it must need to be cleared. It needs to be cleared. I think they are still assisting with getting that information. And then we can interact, Chair, with the presentation by the NAC. Thanks.
Thank you very much. While we are waiting for this information, I think it should be proper for me to give the department an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think on the issue of the secretariat who was suspended, there's a report, Honorable Chair, that we sent to you at D5. I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, that had the report on the Molemo file. Yes. We did submit information for the honorable members to go through that report. It contains all the information that honorable members want to look at, the charges, what was leaked to the media, and it's a huge file that contains the information. Because it also has the charges and what charges the official is facing and why this person, why there was a dereliction in terms of duties, because they are clearly outlined. We were supposed to do this on this particular day and failed to do. That file has got that information. It's a big file. Yes. We can really submit the file if it has not reached the honorable members. Yes. Okay, we will resubmit the information, but okay. But the information is there, we will submit the information. And maybe to respond to Honorable Mahlangu, BIG, the Business Innovation Group, Honorable Mahlangu, is an audit firm that did internal auditing for the Department of Arts and Culture. They were appointed by the department. So when these allegations came, because they came through DPSA and others are reported via president, and they go to our fraud unit, you know, that is managed by our risk management officer. So if they are reported that route, this is how then we manage to escalate them so that they become forensic investigation, because they were reported outside. So we had to then also, after the report, the investigation was concluded, we then have to then feedback to public service and other people who have done the whistleblowing. But with the grant funding, it's different that came, because it's an applicant that who was not happy with the results of the outcome. And then they appealed to minister. And then it was found that these people are in the rural area. Some of the conditions, it's very difficult. And then to say minister, and then minister then said, once he received the report, then said, can you reconsider this application in terms of, because it was an application that was not considered by the NAC when they did the screening of the application. Hence, the application went through the appeals process. Maybe there are two things. There is a bonus issue and the increase, salary increment issue. The bonus issue.
Yeah, if there is follow up to honorable members, follow up immediately.
The matter that becomes a problem to me on the matter, you see, I've asked the question whether the thing that BIG is a qualified stamp. Why would then the department find it problematic that an audit firm has got? So that audit firm is a relationship with the CEO, is that what you're saying? Or the investigator?
The investigator.
And basically didn't disclose?
The investigator did disclose to say, I've worked with the CEO previously. But the big question is that, did that, I think what we are now establishing, what Minister wants to find out is whether that relationship had, you know, an effect, or, you know, they influenced the outcome of the investigation, whether there was objectivity.
Okay.
Immediately once the person discloses that they've got a relationship with that person, it has to stop. Immediately they can't continue. Because this is an investigation with the understanding that I have, Chair. It has to stop there and there. But with this one, it didn't stop. And secondly, maybe one would also want to look into to find out, I don't know whether Honorable JL is asked, who really appointed the investigator or whoever the firm. So that because the person who appointed to that firm, obviously when you appoint something, you check. check them, do the whatever. The minister, especially the government, by the way, to teach your citizens and other things. So we do all of those things. We are going to job, but now, many relationships are and whatever that is going to make people be suspicious. At the end of the day, that because I have a relationship with this person. Still, the details are what they are making. And we have been saying to the department all these years, Chairperson, for 3 years, that avoid to give us piecemeal information because if information is our fundamental target, if the information is not really assisting. I mean, we are not in a grade one class here where you have a step by step, no, we can't. We have been saying this up until now again. We still have to dig for information as if this information no, we don't have to. We need to be equipped with information in this country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And I think when we're looking at this issue of this forensic investigation with this institution, maybe we need to look at the cost as well. How much did it cost the department to do the investigation? And I think the information that the Honourable Members are asking for, that who was responsible for this? And so that we know that it's so-and-so who was told by this person that I do have a relationship and this person just said, you can go ahead and do whatever. So we need to get this information so that at the end of this, we are able to make findings and recommendations. If we can get that information, it would assist us.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And then on the issue of the bonuses and salary increases, those are two issues, the bonus and the salary increase. The bonus, yes, I think Honorable Makondo arrived that they are approved by the board. The salary increase, those are matters that go to the board. But I think when they look at the salary increases, they also look at what the entity can afford at the time because they receive a grant from the department. And they also look at the CPI and you know those things. But others, they align themselves to the public service, you know, salary increases. But most of the time, they would look at what the entity can afford. Other would approve 5%, 6%, or 7% increases. The bonus is when you've performed and you know above average and you qualify for a bonus. And that is also approved. But I think just to make to clear the matter of the salary increase, what the board found was that the salary did not increase from 1.2 million to 1.6 million. So it was also misstated, I think, in the report. So the CFO, I think, with the audit committee, then they made sure that they reported and you know that it's no longer, it was misstated in the report. So it was not 1.6 million. So that this is why I'm saying it. The department found, the report that we got was that the salary did not increase to 1.6 million. But the bonus, yes, Honorable Makondo.
I want to treat you with suspicion. Can you allow me to do that? Because there's information before me. In your report, this is your report. You said there was an investigation by the board about the salary increase of the CEO and the CFO. And on your findings, you say, you talk about the bonus, you don't talk about the increase. Am I correct? There's also increase. There's what?
Chair. Can we, that the members can be.
It's fine, Chair. It's fine, Chair. There was an allegation of the salary increase. Whether the salary increase was from 1.2 million to 1.6 million material. The issue is that there was an increase. And if the investigation, in fact, this report, if they were telling us that indeed there was an increase, but the increase was not from 1.2 million to 1.6, I would find comfort on that. But if you come and say something else, I will treat you with suspicion that you come before this portfolio committee and distort, and you think we must take you seriously. That's my problem.
Thank you, Honourable Maputo. Actually, you're right. Because we just, before I give over to the chair, we just had a presentation from Auditor General South Africa, which was talking about the reliability of information, information being authentic. So now I'm also beginning to doubt whether this information that has just been presented is reliable, based on the statement that you just said, Kidebukile, that the increase between, and actually you confused me, the increase because between 1.2 to 1.6 million, because the assumption is, where I'm sitting, I can't calculate the difference with 18%, because it says here in the document, the increase was 18% higher than the 5% which was supposed to be. So it might, for those who know how to calculate mathematics, from the salary at that time, it might give us that 1.6, because it's an 18% increase of the salary that she was earning at that time, Chairperson. So now what you are saying is really confusing us, because percentage and monetary will be two different things, but they will go to the same answer at the end of the day. Because what you said here, the increase is 18%. So I assumed when you were saying it's 18% that it moved from that 1.2 million that she was earning to 1.6 million per annum. That was the assumption from where I'm sitting, Chair. Now, actually, it was not moved from 1.2 to 1.6. This report is not reliable. We have just tested it. It's really not reliable. I don't know whether we should really keep on dealing with it, because the report, I don't know, honorable members, really, let's look at the report that has just been presented. Now we are getting more and more confused about the report. And now the information that is also going to be presented further on this matter, Chair, I feel myself, I'm also suspicious myself.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe if I can just, honorable Chair and members, just something. Firstly, maybe just to accept the wrongness of the numbering, because it's like 19, which is in fact like 22, refers to the increase of the CEO salary by 18% from 1.26 to 1.664, was found not to be correct. And then the next slide, then says, which is 23 instead of, it should be 19, it says this amount was in excess of the stipulated 5% per the remuneration and reward policy of the National Arts Council. There is a letter that the Honorable Minister, Mr. Zai, has written to the Chair. There is a detailed paragraph on page 2 that refers to the same matter on the council's investigation into the CEO salary, whether it was increased from 1.2 in 2015 to 1.3 in 2016. Then on that page 2, the third paragraph then details the breakdown of what went wrong. And I think maybe it's a packaging of the information that we must accept, that you might not link that 5% to this statement of the salary increase. And I think that is all.
Yes, I've been trying very hard not to dismiss this document. I've been trying very hard not to
allow the members to say, let's throw this in the bin where it belongs. But now, truly speaking, it's the information, because the minute this document lands on our desk, it's a public document. The minute it hits here, it's a public document. It's out there for people to see. As we speak, anybody can have this document. You know, because it's a public document, because we are public representatives. Once it gets here, it's a public. This is what we've been saying to the department from day one. That when a document goes out of the department, you must ensure that it has the right information. The formation that's here is correct, because as soon as it comes here, you can't go back and say, no, well, without your opinion, what will you stand and shout at the top of your voice and say, no, page 19, those page 19, three page 19, it's 19, 20, 21, or whatever. Where are you going to say that? We've been saying this to the department. And as honorable members pointed out, that even the information that is here seems really much different. I've been restraining myself. I've been trying to say, okay, let us, because we have the entities here, let's ensure that we discuss the matter. But as we are proceeding with the discussion, I find it very difficult to go on, because it's clear that the department, as usual, did not prepare itself to come before the portfolio committee. It did not prepare itself. Like it did when it came here with the deputy minister. This is a disgrace. Department officials, it's a disgrace. To bring before the portfolio committee information that is not tested, information that is not correct. In fact, Nyan, what happens in other countries where policemen stand out there so that if you give us wrong information, we call in the police, they take you to jail. That's what we need to have here. To have policemen standing there, because if you give us wrong information, that it means that we must take decisions on something that is not true, something that is not there. Because we do our work on the basis of the information that you give us. We make findings and recommendations out of what you present to us. You present, and we have a researcher who researches, we have a content advisor that advises, and we make findings and recommendations. But if you give us wrong information, then it's a serious problem. And honorable members, I think this document is something that we cannot rely on. The information that is here, we cannot rely on. Honorable Masa?
The department to stand for their information and justify it. You were trying to nicely, I mean, Makonde tried to explain this thing. Tichi, you must be careful. We are clear. Well, it's your information, but you must also read your documentation thoroughly. We are trying to say, but anyway, if we are getting ground, you must be penal. It's fine. But trying to make the point. And the point is, you are disputing information, but you're not telling us anything. What you are reading is saying this is not correct, but it's not telling us what is correct. That's your report. So I want them, it's their information. I think they like their information. And I want them, I don't think it is fair that we should throw them out, throw their information out. They like their information. I think they must stick with their information. mina ngithi asiqhubekeni nale information yayo. No, it's because I have asked several questions. And I said, they asked the council to investigate the decision of council. It's a contradiction in terms. I want to hear them responding on those things. They asked the council to investigate the council. That's what their document is saying. There are areas where they could have assigned the matter to the council. They said, no, well, let's get the assessor to do it. On this one, where the council has decided on a particular matter, they say, council, investigate yourself. They have the company that they have assigned, the company that has been auditing them, according to labor agreements, to do work. But they don't tell us in the information, they refer to a clean document. But I would have expected that they tell us what that document is saying and not refer to a document. Because they know the document, their document, not our document. We can't read for them. They must tell us what that document is saying vis-a-vis what is here. Because I'm saying this forensic they have conducted gave them an outcome they are implementing. But parallel to that, they start another process. They must answer all those questions. What does that mean?
We can't take this presentation and rely on it. Instead, Chair, you must go and open a case against the DG and the Chair of the Council. You know why, Chair? The DG is presenting a report to us to say there was an allegation that there was an increase. But she later says that there was no increase. It was a bonus of 137,000 and so forth. They speak about some allowances. But if you take, then they say again there was an increase of 5%. But if you take your calculator check, you minus 1.6 million by 18%, it gives you a salary that she was supposed to get. If you minus it, by if you have got a very good calculator, not the ones that you buy a Chinese. If you take your calculator, you just punch in 1.66 for what, you minus it by 18%. It gives you that 1.2. Who's pulling who? So we can't take this report. Instead, there must be an investigation whether there was an increase. Not these things that they did. Not these things. BIG, notorious BIG. It's BIG who investigated this. It is notorious. There must be an investigation, a proper investigation by a reputable institution to investigate whether there was an increase. And if there was an increase, by what percentage? Not notorious PIG. Because there was indeed an increase. And the DG, he does not even want to commit to that. Chair, you must open a case whether to public protector or to the police, but there must be an investigation whether there was that increase. The information here, we're going to keep it as a record, we'll submit it as evidence that was presented to us. We can't. You know, it's even worse when you can see the hand, and you can see this is a rubber that is a hand. This is, it can't. No. At least when we can't see that it's Mabilangu's hand, maybe we can convince them. If you can see it's my hand, report it. There must be change. This meeting must agree that there must be an investigation, and you must report it on behalf of this portfolio court. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. Lunch is served out there, and I propose that we have a working lunch, but it's going to get cold. If you can just go grab something and come back so that we have a working lunch. We'll grab something, come back, and we'll allow officials to go out there, grab something, and we continue with our discussion. Let the honorable members go first, and then you are invited to grab something so that we continue.